Welcome, welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of the So You Think You Can Dance Wrap-Up. Thank you for joining us. My name is Lita Brillman, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kelly Bedard. Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Lita. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. We have a lot to go over this week. I feel like I have a lot of thoughts this week. How about you?
I'm still loving this format, I've got to say. I do still feel that we don't know the contestants as well as we could because of all the focus on the All-Stars. But I'm really enjoying the structure of the competition with the teams and lowering it down like this. And we got to see a little bit of a spotlight on the choreography of the All-Stars this week. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed this episode, I will say.
Yeah, I very much agree. I feel like I have a lot of opinions to go through. And I totally agree with you that seeing the All-Stars do the choreo was both wonderful because it's like, oh, we get to see Marco dance again. Like, it's been a while.
I literally wrote that. I was like, can I just watch Marco dance forever and ever? It's been so long. I love him so much.
Yeah. And also just because it shows us so much of the style of the All-Stars and sort of where they land in terms of dance artistically, because on the show we really only got to see them dance. We didn't get to see them choreograph on their respective seasons as much.
Yeah, we got more of their point of view here.
Right. So this is kind of a window into what they're looking for. So I thought that was really interesting. So our top story this week is that I finally got a chance to sit down and watch Center Stage.
Oh my god,
it happened.
Oh my god, guys. She didn't, I really expected her to tell me this off mic so that I'd be prepared. This is a big okay. What did you think? Oh my god, tell me everything. Are you in love with Charlie?
I don't understand the Charlie thing.
Oh,
so
you're,
much
you're wrong.
I get the personality, like,
admittedly
he's the one who's there when the other guy is a jerk. I get it, but he's not handsome.
I think
that's an important part.
He's moderately handsome. He is not actually handsome. The thing, it's entirely about the dancing for me. Like, it's not that he's an interesting character. He's a terrible, terrible actor. It is entirely just like a ballet dancer obsession. And,
but the other guy is so much better at dancing.
Yes, but he's a total jerk. So here's how it works, Lita. If someone is a baseline nice person, talent is super sexy. Same thing with intelligence. If someone is a jerk, they could be the most talented, intelligent person in the world. It gets X'd out. It doesn't count. It's not applicable to the situation. So Cooper Nielsen is the worst. And so it doesn't count. Although I will say that, like, to excuse my terrible language here, but like that pissing contest scene where I know it's just like a gross term. I hate that term, but that's exactly what it is. We've seen where they're doing all of the jumps. I don't know the technical terms, but the when they're debating over,
like, try it like this. Oh,
yeah,
like
try
this?
It like this scene, like the scene where they're one-upping each other on like tricks that they can do to end the pas de trois. Like, so it's my favorite. It's my favorite thing ever. And then especially because when they actually do that routine at the showcase, Charlie executes perfectly the one that had stumped him in the earlier scene. And it's the sort of thing you have to actually be like watching the dance to notice. And it makes me so happy. I'm so glad you watched it.
Yeah, I thought that Maureen's boyfriend was the most attractive to me.
Oh, no, that's like for sure true.
Oh,
that's like not even. But the difference is that he's an actor and that's why they hired him. Right. Like, it's easier to find.
Because he didn't have to be a dancer
than a super hot ballet dancer who speaks really good English is really also the key. Right. Because like a lot of like all the national ballet dancers, all the hot ones are like French. Mostly a lot of the really hot ones are French. So, especially with someone with like an American accent, like there's all this stuff happening where they're trying to find a dancer who can play Charlie and Cooper. Right. They had to have two. But no, you're absolutely right in terms of just like actual attractiveness. Jim.
Yeah. And he was nice. He was kind. Yeah. I don't know.
In Band of Brothers. He's wonderful.
Oh, I did not know that. I really enjoyed the movie. I cried at the end when Zoe Saldana gave her part, or Maureen gave her part to Zoe Saldana.
You didn't have the feet. I don't have the heart.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of emotions. I really hated the naked sexy time scene on stage in the final ballet. But
you mean the part where they reenact the entire movie thus far on stage?
Yes, I did not like her being in her bra and panties and point shoes. I did not appreciate that.
You would not like Noumié did a I think that's how you pronounce his name, did a version of Streetcar Named Desire. That's obviously a ballet. And the second act, the first act is all the prelude, like the prequel, essentially, to the Streetcar action as written by Tennessee Williams. But the second act is the play, essentially. And it is some sexy, sexy times.
Yeah, it's partly that I'm a prude, and it's also partly that I'm sort of a dance purist. So save your sexy times for Jenna and both of her partners, respectively, but not for ballet on point shoes.
I don't know. I'm cool with it. I mean, not with that scene, but with the practice in general. It works well in Streetcar. Anyway, I'm glad you liked it, at least sort of. I do think it is one of those movies you have to see when you're young, because it doesn't it's not that good, right? Like, you have to sort of have that nostalgic factor happening.
I mean, it was no like Step Up.
Dancer, yeah.
But
oh, no. See, it's so much better than Step Up. You saw Step Up before you saw Center Stage. And so I do understand. But from a dance point of view, like, if you're a dance intense person, it's so much better than Step Up. I mean, like, they have actual dancers. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, Channing Tatum is a true dancer.
You know, Channing Tatum is one of those people. So people ask me all the time.
We promise we will podcast about So You Think You Can Dance very soon.
One day we'll get to So You Think You Can Dance. But Lita started on this train. And that's the thing. So what Channing Tatum is one of those people who is what I would call a shower singer. Or a dish doing singer, where I always say that I have a really good singing voice for someone who only sings while doing the dishes. If I were to try to be a singer, I wouldn't be considered a good enough singer. I'd be considered a bad singer. But as someone who doesn't sing, like someone who just does my dishes, someone walks by while I'm doing the dishes, they're like, wow, you're a really good singer. I think Channing Tatum's like that with dancing, where like, he's an actor. We don't expect him to be able to dance. So when he can dance, we're like, oh my God, look how good of a dancer he is.
Yeah.
Like if he were a dancer, like if he were to audition for So You Think You Can Dance, we'd be like, this guy sucks. Like, this is not good enough.
Well,
and you can see that in the end of Magic Mike XXL when he does that routine where he's mirroring Twitch.
I have not seen the film.
Oh my God. Whoa. First of all, you need to see that film. It's so much better than the first one.
I haven't seen the first one. I wouldn't understand the plot.
The plot of the second one is they go to a stripper convention. That's the entire plot.
Spoilers.
That's the premise. That's not the plot. Anyway, it's amazing, but the climactic scene is at the stripper convention. That's a spoiler. But it is a mirror routine, so it's like two people doing the same thing backwards, and it's Channing Tatum and Twitch from So You Think You Can Dance. See what I did there?
Yeah.
And he gets out danced by one Mr. Steven Boss. So because Twitch is a real freaking dancer, you know.
Yeah. Well, related to this, and this is the last point I'm going to make about Center Stage, I am confused about Zoe Saldana and how she is that good at ballet.
Oh, she's not. She's a double.
But there was so much stuff where you could see her face in it.
Okay, so like the so the scene when she's rehearsing her pas de bourrée suivi in front of the mirrors, and Juliet comes in and says, release your arm or whatever. That's really her, because she has a ballet background. But when it's like the actual like Jonathan's big climactic ballet at the end, that is doubles.
But there was stuff in there that was definitely her. That was some legit dancing. So I was just wondering what was going on there.
This, I think, was also her first movie. So I think she does have a dance background, but not enough to. Like, Cooper was an actual principal with ABT. Jody and Charlie were, and obviously, like, the Russian guy and, like, the other people who didn't have huge roles were students at the, I don't know if it's actually called the American Ballet Academy, but the equivalent of that. And then everybody else was an actor who had, like, some affinity for ballet. And she was in that category. But I do think she came from a ballet background.
Interesting. Well, This was our 10-minute promotion for Center Stage. I see now why I should have watched it earlier. Peter Gallagher is in it, which yes. I did not know.
Oh,
I love.
Oh, and it's my first Peter Gallagher exposure. So then when he showed up on the OC and he was a totally different character, I was like, I don't know that I trust him. He seems like he's manipulative. But then he's Sandy Cohen and he just won me over completely. But he is in Center Stage. I think he's perfectly cast. But he's not the nicest guy. But he's also not wrong, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, that was that. Everybody should go watch it. I had to pay for it on YouTube, but
appreciate you watching it, though. You went the extra mile.
Well, you and Angela, just between the two of you, there was so much pressure.
I was so happy Angela backed me up on that. That was amazing.
So getting into the episode.
Right. Yes. Task at hand, everyone.
Yes, we are very focused. This is the last week before we go live, which is very thrilling. And this week we start with our top 30. And in this episode, one more person was eliminated from each team. And then the top two danced with their all-stars. And they are going to the round that's going to determine whether they are cut or make it to that top two is a Sonia Taya jazz routine.
Quick question. How are we going to be live next week? Because isn't the Green Mile next week? How is that going to be live?
Yeah, I was confused about that, too. I'm thinking that the first half is like them making the cuts and then there's maybe like a live group routine or something where they move to the stage because now they're in the same city because they're not in Vegas anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So they could just be at the main stage when they make the cuts and then do a big group routine. But then they would have to already know because... Yeah. They have to have learned the routine.
And also because this was all filmed in the past. So like they would have to have everybody know, basically do the cuts, like film the cuts, and then have everybody who was cut come and stand on stage and like awkwardly pretend or.
Oh, no, it could be that they were. Yeah. So they could have recorded the first half of the episode being the cuts that they did like months ago or whatever. And then they had. Those months because they've known for months if the cuts aren't live and then the second half of the episode might be the top 10 and all-star group routine or something.
In which case why would that be live because there's nothing to vote on?
Like they wouldn't know. Just because it's also thrilling and Kat has to wear a dress and it's nice.
Do you know if we're going to 2 hours? I don't know how they can feasibly not have it be 2 hours.
I do not know. I would guess that it's not. There's some show that's on after it, like some stupid,
Superhuman.
Yes.
That's the Cal Penn show, isn't it? I think it's
Cal Penn. I don't know. I keep calling it The Genius, but that's a different show that's really, really good. And the show is not that.
Superhuman. That's what it's called.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
That is that show. But I just keep calling it that dumb show that's on after. So You Think You Can Dance.
I don't know how feasibly I don't know how this is going to work going to live like that. There's no I don't know how Green Mile could possibly be live if they have to still do Green Mile unless.
No. Yeah. I don't think that would be like I don't think that would be live.
Right. So like unless they're doing like a Survivor finale thing where they made everybody just like hold and wait. But there's no real feasible way that the Green Mile, which is a stupid name for it, could possibly be live. And if they have to do it, unless they're basically going to montage the entire Green Mile, which is a total waste, I don't see how they're going to have time to do anything that is worth voting on in the rest of the episode that makes like justifies why it's live. Nothing makes sense, Lita. Explain everything, please.
I have locked in my guess that I think that they are just going to do a group routine or have the like individual showcase routines or something. Everybody will do a quick routine with their all-star or something that won't necessarily be for voting. It'll just be live because it's fun.
Mm. All right. Well, I don't know about live just for the fun of it.
But maybe they'll be vote. I mean, they could do the Green Mile very quickly. I'm sure they'll montage some people.
Like Team Jasmine, for example. There's no way they deserve like. Right. Surely the editors hate her because we have seen nothing at all.
Yeah, so they could just do that quickly and then have, 40 minutes or so to do some routines. Everybody does a 2-minute routine. I don't know.
That would be a shame because there are some of these people, like some of these matchups are really tough. And there are some people who are going to be cut at the Green Mile that I will truly miss because there are some tough decisions on the board here.
Yes, very true. So getting into this jazz round, the first thing we see, and then we see it again, like 5 minutes later, there's a flashback to it, is Kevin from Allison's team, but then most recently Jenna's team, who has been passed around. He has a really bad attitude, and I actually think that Sonia goes really easy on him
here. I wrote down, poor Kevin, Sonia's terrifying.
She's terrified, but she gives him this personal attention and stops the rehearsal to talk to him, but she doesn't really yell at him. She says, like, if you don't want to be here, bye. But I really felt like she could have unleashed some more holy hell on him, and I thought she was actually being pretty kind.
I mean, she didn't literally yell at him, but she was like, she was basically saying, you're an asshole and you're like the worst and you don't deserve to be here.
Well, she's not wrong.
I know. What are you kidding? Kevin's amazing. Like, okay, no. Okay. This drove me crazy because I didn't see him say anything to her or to start. How did this interaction start? Do you remember
he was stressed out and she said, are you panicking? Look at me. And he wouldn't look at her. And she said, are you panicking? And he was like, I'm not flexible. I can't do it. And she said, it's not about flexibility. And then he said, I don't care about this, or I don't care about that, which is a horrible thing to say.
Right. Okay. Except if we're empathetic about it, this is a guy who has now spent like this whole experience is of the Sonia Taya jazz portion is so incredibly overwhelming. He's already gotten through contemporary. He's like been battling this entire time. He's a crumper. And if he now it's one thing if he like raises his hand, says, I can't do that. Make me like give me a different move. That's one thing. But if he's like frustrated and he's looking at the ground or something and she comes up to him and him is like, essentially confronting him and being like, I found it quite aggressive. This like, what's wrong? And he's just trying, he's got his head down. He's trying to just like make it stop essentially. And she's just, I found her very confrontational. And we've seen this from Sonia before. I keep wanting to call her Taya. So from Sonia before where she can do this. And I would just find her the most intimidating. And that makes me when someone's being really confrontational with me and I just want to get out of there as fast as possible, I will say anything. And so I'll just be like, I don't care. I just stop. Like, I don't. Ah. And I really felt for him. I felt this was rough. And
yeah.
I did not appreciate the way that Jenna used it either. I felt like Jenna was maybe a little, I think the power and the position of being an all-star is going to Jenna's head a little bit. The way she delivered some of her, like, I'm sorry, you will not be continuing. And
she's very polished.
Yeah. I was very disappointed in you, Kevin. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, you know what, Jenna, all you have on these guys is that you auditioned a couple years before them. So some of the people on the panel danced in seasons where they danced with all stars and they were in this exact same position as the competitors on this season. And now they're all stars. Like, it's just a timing issue. And I think she's being really pretty. I don't know. She's pretty proud of herself for being an all star. And I didn't like how this came back against Kevin. And I'm wondering if it is part of an editing thing. To maybe justify her eventually picking Kiki.
I really think that this is something that's just extremely common in dance is, you know, a teacher. I just didn't think that this was an appropriate behavior at all from Sonia. I think if you're the only person who's not able, and you know, we don't know that he's the only person, again, there is editing, but if you are the person who's having a bad attitude and slowing down the rehearsal because you don't seem to care, that's really, really insulting to the other people around you.
That's not what was happening though. Like, cause I agree. I think if that's what was happening. That's different. But one, this is not the world of dance. This is the world of So You Think You Can Dance, which are very different things. This is not the professional world. She's dealing with specifically mostly a pool of amateurs who have not been out in the professional world of dancing. So they don't know how to deal. And he's an untrained dancer, too. So he certainly has never worked with. I just think that empathy is what's required here. And I think that Sonia sometimes struggles with that. And I think she should not. And I just felt like Kevin was not causing a commotion in, I didn't think he was slowing down rehearsal. I think he had his head down and she decided to go and be annoying about it. I just didn't like it at all. I felt like it lacked, it wasn't kind. And I didn't like it.
Yeah. I just think he's going to have to deal with it. If he's not able to now, then, you know, choreographers are going to get frustrated with him in the future because choreographers get frustrated with everyone. It just happens. And he's going to have to be able to deal with it. And I, you know, I don't mean to sound so completely not understanding, but I just feel like, oh, I'm not flexible enough is an excuse. And it didn't sit well with me.
There's also something to be said. Cyrus actually says later in the episode, I think it might have been about Kevin, but I don't quite remember. He says later in the episode, they have a week, and he repeats it like three times. And what he's saying, they were talking about someone who was having a hard time picking up the choreography. Was it Havoc? Who then, I thought it was when he was talking about somebody else's competitor, but maybe it was Havoc. It was someone who
Havoc was struggling also.
Yes, that's also true. It might have been but Cyrus was someone was presenting the argument that this, whoever the dancer was, is incredibly effective when they have the choreo down, but it takes them a long, when they're not sure of the choreography, they're really bad. And Cyrus said like three times, just like they have a week. And as someone who really came at it from, he was an untrained street dancer. He really struggled in the choreography rounds early on when you have an hour, because they really dramatically benefit people who have experience. In the actual show, you have a whole week to remember the choreography and to work on it. And like, if your leg extension doesn't go that far on Monday, maybe it will by Thursday if you work hard enough at it. And I just think that the competition is different than this 1 hour thing. And I think that someone being exposed to something he's never been exposed to before put his head down and it became a
whole. But it was the way he spoke to her. It was an attitude. It was an attitude problem for me. And I just think that that's a really important thing.
And that line that like, I don't care about this or whatever it was that he said, that to me felt like one of those just throwaway, like when you're stressed out, you're just like, I need this confrontation to not be happening anymore. And you say the wrong thing, which I totally relate to that. It felt to me kind of like just a thing you throw off that he didn't necessarily mean. If you feel that that was really representative of what he was actually feeling and what was actually happening in that moment, then that is actually, you're right, an absolutely big attitude problem. I didn't feel that that one line was fully representative of what was actually happening with
Kevin.
And
it was just, I don't know, it was the way he was responding to her and not making eye contact with her and all these things that I just feel like all I can go off of is what was on the show. And we can speculate about other things, but that's what I saw. And I think that at this point where it's literally between you and one other person, or when this happened, it's between you and two other people, anything can make a difference. And if you are the exact same level of talent, Jenna's deciding between him and one other person. And if she can't make this decision, attitude and how easy you are to work with can be that decision maker.
True. I just don't think that that this is indicative of his general attitude and how easy he will be to work with. I actually think Kevin, depending on what Jenna does here, I do think she's going to pick Kevin. I certainly hope she picks Kevin. And I think that if she does, I think he's going to emerge as a standout personality on the show. And we'll look back on this the way we wait for it. Here it comes. We look back on Katie and what was certainly presented to us as a very big attitude problem that she has during Vegas week of her own season.
I don't even remember that.
Exactly. Because her story on the show totally overrode it. Mm-hmm. But it definitely stands out to me. And as someone who does not make, like, if someone's confronting me about something, this happened to me last week or 2 weeks ago, where someone said something ridiculous to me that I found incredibly offensive. So I just stopped making eye contact with them. I essentially just sort of either looked down or looked at the other person in the conversation. And he literally goes, "Why aren't you making eye contact with me?" And I'm like, "Oh, because this is what I do when I'm uncomfortable. I don't know." It was like very overwhelming because I'm not an eye contact girl.
I mean, this isn't to say that I'm not rooting for Kevin, because I actually would prefer Jenna pick him over over Kiki. And we can get to more of that when we get into Jenna dancing with both of them, because there's a lot to unpack there, I think. So I actually am rooting for Kevin. I just felt that in this moment, I was actually surprised by Sonia not going in harder on him, but I guess
she has in the past. She has a root. Like, this was not out of character for her. This is who we know her to be. And this is why they talk about, and this is why they put her last. And they talk about Sonia as being the toughest, because she will do this to you. Like, she's tough. It's part of her persona.
So speaking of tough, a really horrible thing happens next where Taylor, who belongs to Team Robert, accidentally kicks a girl who is, was she also on Team Robert?
Yes, she was.
Yeah. So
but
she
I don't
kicks.
Think we know her really well.
Yeah. It's a girl named Jennifer, which makes sense that we don't know her because the show would not want us getting super attached to this girl who is taken out of the competition by such a terrible thing. So they're on the floor and I guess Taylor just doesn't have enough space and she kicks Jennifer in the face. She has to go to the hospital and get stitches. There's like a lot of blood and Robert says she made the decision herself, which I think is a weird way of putting that.
Yeah, like, I had some feelings about that, Robert.
Yeah, that seemed very strange. She was saying like, I have to prioritize my health and stuff. But to me, this didn't even feel like prioritizing. This felt like, no, you need to go to the hospital. There's not a choice here.
Yeah. And you know what? This was interesting because we've seen Nigel handle situations like this in the past. And it may have been a timing thing. It might not be all on Robert. But in the past, they will rearrange things and find a way to facilitate that person taking and really emphasize that it's important for that person to take care of themselves. They can come back in a couple hours and they can do the routine then. Whether this was just a timing thing and whether it's because the judges weren't there. So Nigel, there wasn't anyone with the authority to step in and say, no, we're going to change things to facilitate this. Or maybe he was going to eliminate her anyway. So it didn't really matter. So they just sort of used this excuse. Either way, I really didn't like the tone of Rob. And I don't know exactly what the details were, but the tone with which Robert presented the fact that she went to the hospital instead of competing. And he presented that as her being weak and her prior like being selfish. And I was like, absolutely not. This girl is right. She does need to go to the hospital. I also thought it was weird. I mean, maybe she was just kicked in the head and then something. I don't know how it works, but it almost struck me as like, did she cut her with her toenail? Like, how did she get a laceration from
blood.
A kid?
I have no idea.
Like, it was strange. My guess was that she, like, clipped her with a toenail, which is gross.
Disgusting.
But, like, how else is there? I mean, maybe if she kicked her really hard, in which case she definitely has to go to the hospital because she got kicked
something
in the head
and
she
had brain damage. Yeah.
Like, she might have a concussion. Like, that girl needs to go to the hospital.
Didn't seem like she lost consciousness, so probably not a concussion, hopefully. So, you know, Robert can't catch a break here. He finally gets people to agree to be on his team, and then one of them is taken out.
Also, I mean, Team Robert sucks, right? Like, I don't need these two people who are left. Like, Team Robert is going home so fast.
You don't have a lot of confidence in face kicker Taylor that she's going to get a lot of votes from the audience.
She is also, isn't she the girl, the like sexy jazz girl that Nigel was gross
Probably.
About? Isn't that who that is?
Like, I don't know. That looks the same.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm judging her unfairly, but I find her incredibly generic. And
yeah, well, she's definitely going to be his partner.
Oh, definitely. I don't even know who this guy is.
Jonathan. He's a small person.
Very small.
That's all I know about him.
I mean, Robert's quite tall, so standing next to him, whatever, but like he's very small.
Yeah.
I seem to remember there being a Jonathan we liked, but I think he's the one who got eliminated already.
Yeah.
I just find Taylor really uninteresting. And I don't know. Maybe she'll make it to the center of the pack, but I think there are so many good dancers this year that like why would she be like eliminated? Like she'll maybe get eighth place if she's lucky.
We will definitely track that because she's totally going to be Robert's partner. We haven't seen any of the other guy. So we see all the all-stars coaching them in little groups. This was fun.
I thought this was hilarious too, because like imagine being on Fiction's team and then him trying to give you pointers on how to execute Sonia Taya choreography. Like why can Fiction help in this situation?
Yeah, I don't know, but it was fun to see them coach their people. And so the first up that we get to see is Team Gabby, which is Lex Ishimoto, Evan DiBenedetto, who is a tapper who I really
forgot about him.
Yeah, I did not remember last week. And Natalie Delgon, who's a flamingo dancer and is not a person that is in my brain.
Did you just say flamingo dancer?
flamenco. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, like, that's not right.
My autocorrect and my notes changed it to flamingo, and I just was kind of reading to get these names right and did not think about it.
Oh my god, how dumb is autocorrect that it doesn't know the word flamenco?
She's a flamenco dancer and she is gone as quickly as she arrives.
Oh yeah, but I'm glad that Gabby did say thank you for bringing flamenco to the stage, because I thought that was cool. We've never seen flamenco, I don't think, on So You Think You Can Dance. Too bad we didn't see it this season either, because I don't remember this person.
Yeah, and she's unsurprisingly cut here, but Evan is really quite good in this jazz.
Yes, to sort of compile this Gabby section and the next Gabby section when we see her dancing with both of them later. Evan's fantastic, and I found myself, I literally wrote down, should Gabby pick Evan? I felt weird about a couple things. One, I did not like this whole we're editing to try and give Lex something to that needs improvement so that we can maybe throw us off the scent that he's a front runner. And also to give Gabby something to criticize in him, because it has come to light, thank you comment section, that they were partners on Travis's tour. So Evan, the other thing that bothered me was I was wondering if Evan knows how much of a disadvantage he's working with, considering that Lex and Gabby are friends. Like they have an established connection. And so Evan, who is a wonderful, incredibly versatile dancer, they showed a little clip of him doing the hip hop. And I was like, hells yeah, Tapper boy.
Yeah.
But like, he's at such a disadvantage. And I'm wondering if he knows about his own disadvantage here, or if he's just totally blind.
Yeah, I really don't. I feel like he has to kind of be thinking like, to some extent. Yeah. I just don't know how much he knows or how good he is aware that Lex is.
And although it's too bad, because if he was on Team Robert, he could win.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's the downside to this. But yeah, so, you know, these guys are really good on Team Gabby. Not much to critique here.
Although I will say this is a thing speaking of Robert, this idea of we can't see your personality, smile more. This is a criticism that gets launched at the guys with the best technique often. And it's this idea that basically their personalities have been trained out of them. And I'm wondering what you think about that, because it has come up on the show before. It's often come up with men, which I don't know. So it's interesting.
I think that it is frequently used as something to just be a placeholder when there's not a real critique. I think maybe not that exact criticism, but the one that I'm thinking of is when Jenna, and we'll skip ahead a little bit, when Jenna sends Riley home, she says there just isn't a connection. And that's just not a real thing.
That,
like,
excuse.
Yeah. Like, I understand that there is such a thing as chemistry and connection with the audience and all these things, but he was the best in that round. Like, and it just wasn't even close. And it was just, I think that connection and some things about not seeing your personality, sometimes those can just be kind of placeholders for, like, I just don't like to watch you as much for whatever reason. And that is also legit. If someone is not just owning the stage and you can't take your eye off of them, that star quality is a thing. And I think that that's just kind of a dressed up way of being like, you know, you're not really like catching my eye in the same way.
Yeah, I think it's two separate things. I think that we need to see more of your personality is what you say to the really polished dancers when you feel that you need to criticize them as well as the other people. But the other people have literal, like, you need to point your toe kind of criticisms that you need to give them. And I think that, with chemistry people and someone she just doesn't like as much, like, she's really into Kiki, and we have some information that has now come out about her potential links to Kiki and that kind of thing. Like, she's really into Kiki. The other person's Kevin, who is a clear sort of star of the show. We actually know his name, but, like, you know, it's at a certain point you just have to cut someone who's got great technique, because it's the star quality isn't there, and that's something that's really hard to explain. So you just have to say, you know, placeholder criticism, like, I just didn't feel a connection or whatever.
Right. So I don't know about not seeing his person, Lex's personality. I feel like we saw it a ton in his auditions and in some of these other rounds. So we didn't really get to see enough of the actual routine because it just kind of showed like a clip of the three of them doing it for me to really know if that's legit or not. But, you know, they got to make it competitive. I really think that at this point, Gabby is going to go with Lex, but they have to have a balanced amount of critique for both of them.
I would really like her to not go with Lex.
I would also really like her to not. I really like him, but at the same time, he is 18 and I feel like he's going to have so many opportunities. And I think anything that could surprise us at this point is good.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also think Evan deserves it. I was watching Evan way more than I was watching either of the other two in that round. And I like Tap. I think that they could be really great together. I think he's good. He's really versatile. I think he's like more, maybe a little bit more fun personality wise. And it really does bother me that Lex has such a leg up. I don't like, and people who listen to the Dancing with the Stars podcast will remember this from my many, many Heather Morris rants. I don't want a professional dancer on this show. I want people who have not broken in yet, because if you've broken in yet, and this is going to come up with Kiki, Jenna is going to ask him straight up, like, you're really prominent in the competition circuit. You're doing incredibly well. Why are you here? And the answer is he got roped in because his partner wanted to audition.
Right.
And that's not someone I want to watch on scene and dance. Like someone who's just a professional dancer who was like, cool, this will be easy. Like, what? No. Yuck.
Yeah. It's true. And it's tough because at the same time, you don't want to fault him and root against Lex just because of that. Because if we didn't know that information, you know, like, we loved his audition. I think that he's so fantastic, but I have to root for the guy who kind of, you know, he's scrappier than Evan. And I love Tappers.
Yeah. I mean, Lex is a perfectly nice guy and I'm very happy to go watch him in Shaping Sound Company and pay for my ticket to go watch the professional dance company he's a part of.
Right.
But this is his, it's not like there are unlimited spots and I would rather see Evan, especially with the weird kind of condescending tone of this whole All-Stars situation, I'd prefer someone who that's going to bother me a little bit less. And it's going to really bother me with Lex, where I'm like, who are you to tell Lex how to do things, Gabby?
Yeah.
I don't know. Gabby's great, but Lex is amazing. And I don't know. So I would like her to pick Evan. I know she's probably not going to, but yeah, I feel like this is coming out for party for him. I've never seen him before. Have we?
Yeah, I don't know.
We forgot there was any Tappers left. So
yeah, there was definitely like a montage of Tappers during one of the auditions that I'm sure he was in. But moving on, we have Team Paul, which consists of Ramita Ravi, who's the Indian contemporary dancer, and Christina and Sydney, who are both Latin ballroom. And at this point, I'm feeling like Sydney's got to be Paul's partner, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
she seems really
young.
She was
so much. Oh, really?
Yeah, she seems so. There was something about the way she spoke that I was just like, oh, you seem like a kid. So we'll see. She was good. Christina, I thought, was also good. I mean, giant shocker. Paul gets rid of the one non-ballroom girl left on his team.
Yeah. And I think Sydney was much better than Christina in this round.
You think? I didn't really notice the nuances between the two of them. I just felt that, I mean, they're both quite young, but I felt Sydney was quite young. That's not necessarily a problem, especially because Paul is not one of the more established All-Stars. So maybe that power dynamic will fly and she'll really have something to learn from him. And he's not going to be in danger of getting beaten up by Vasily.
I was about to say, but do you think that Paul would be willing to incite the jealousy of Vasily?
Exactly. Yeah, no, I don't. I don't think that would be wise. So poor sweet little Paul. I do think that maybe Sydney is the right move. Is she taller than him though? That's the one thing about Sydney.
She does have really, really long legs. I can't tell if she's really tall. But it's possible.
She looks tall. Someone in the comments described her as tall, and I do not think of Paul as tall. So anyway,
I don't know. I don't know if that'll be a deal breaker. We shall see. Okay.
Anyway,
so
Paul, kind of boring.
Yeah, not
really. They're going to get the ninth place spot.
Okay,
right out before.
We need to do a draft. Yeah. I feel like
we should. Yeah,
maybe, we'll see once once the teams are picked, and with whatever happens next week with this live
thing. Have to do it next week with the who knows how live shows work. Yeah,
yeah. So we got a montage of some randoms who are cut. I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, I don't know either.
And then we move into kind of, they just give us a rundown of who's the last two on all these teams. So Marco has Sophia and Koine. Koine?
Oh, no, it's Koine. I wrote this
Koine.
Down. Koine. Finally said it. I wrote it down. So it's coin like a nickel.
Okay.
And then A like a Canadian. So okay. Koine.
Koine.
Yeah. Love her. So, she's perfect. They're amazing. I'm obsessed with them. Please pick her. He'll be crazy if he doesn't pick her.
Yes, we will break down the what we saw of them dancing together when we get there. So Marco has her and Sophia.
Just that I love them.
And Allison has Zachary and Logan. I think we know where this is going.
Yeah.
Fiction has Dassey and some dude who's not going to beat Dassey, whose name is Kyle, who is a person who exists.
So obvious.
Yes, Jasmine has two people whose names are Howard and Robert, and that is the end of the information we know about
Jasmine,
them.
Jasmine, what did she do to the producers to deserve this?
Maybe her team sucks.
But, like, they can't be worse than Team Robert. Jasmine is a delight, and we've seen nothing from her at all. And I also, to jump ahead again, because that's what I do. Her routine looked so interesting, and it looked like such a beautiful blend of styles, which is the Jasmine, you know, thing. And did we see all of it? No.
So then we get a little bit of comfort, which is good. We see her talking to her three random people, and she asks them why they want to be there. And I like this. It's a little pageanty, but it was sweet because all three people are literally crying talking about being there. And she now has one man and one woman. She cuts a woman whose name is Frankie, but I don't have the names of the other two people.
Yeah, I hate when they ask them why you want to be here, because they all say the same thing. And then, like, it kind of confuses the matter, right? Like, you're not going to, this isn't going to change your mind in any way. So it's just going through the paces in case somebody says something interesting. I kind of assume that all of them shoot this segment, like all of the teams had to answer this, and they only showed comforts. It really annoyed me. I did not I don't like making them talk if they don't. They're all gonna say the same thing, and it also is just sad because someone's gonna be like, I've dreamed my whole life of this, and we're gonna be reminded of that just in time for comfort to have to be like, yeah, I was always gonna cut you even though you just said that. That said, I am so in favor of just more comfort segments. Just show me more comfort all the time, and that'll make me happy because she's just a human ray of sunshine.
Yes, she is. She's very appropriately named. So Robert has both Taylor and Jonathan, who are there by default, and he asked both of them to have more personality, which I think is funny because that was always his roadblock.
Maybe he's doing that on purpose. Maybe he's like warning them, like, guys,
take it from me. Also, I need to see more personality.
I'm not very popular, so you have to have a personality.
Just
maybe
so I'm begging
telling
you.
His team to have less of a personality.
Oh man, poor Robert. Then we move on to Jenna. Yes, we're going to be talking a lot about Jenna. She kind of was the star of
the editors are obsessed with Team Jenna because she was also the star of last week.
Yeah, well, I understand. She's good. The camera is very nice to her. She's very attractive woman and does these really sexy dances. So she has Kiki, Riley, and Kevin. I'm still so bummed that Riley is the one who's cut here because he really was just so much better in this round. And Kevin infuses some crump, and that's fine, but you're not going to be able to do that in every single routine. Like, you're not going to be able to crump in the middle of your foxtrot. So I feel like he needs to start to learn to do the choreography that's given to him.
I think this was maybe where Cyrus said the thing that he said. Actually, I know it is because I have a note about it. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about Kevin, and I do think that Kevin leans on crump when he is insecure about his mastery or lack thereof of the choreography. And I think Cyrus is right with the when he gets a week. And once he has a week, I think he might settle down and, I don't know, pay more attention to the choreography. we'll see if Kevin even makes the top. But I do think that Jenna's aware of the star factor situation. I think she thinks that she has two people who are going to be personalities on the show, and she has one person who's just a pretty good dancer, and she cuts that guy. Yeah. She also, I think it's awkward because it's now that she's sacrificed so much for Kevin that she can't cut him here because then she'll look kind of dumb.
Yeah, that's completely true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Although she did give them advice. She said, "I only want you to connect with me when you're dancing." And I thought this was terrible advice. And this was when they were going out and doing the Sonia routine. So this was not even, she wasn't saying connect me with your partner. She was saying do this routine and only connect to me. Like there's only one person in the audience. And I'm like, no, they're performers. They're going to be performing in front of an audience. And if they do that in front of the judges, especially, and they do that with like America, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to lose because they're not connecting. They're like picked one person in the audience to be their Jenna.
It's possible, though, that she was just saying just for that round so that she can see maybe who she connects with that way.
Maybe by staring lovingly into their eyes as they do mediocre jazz in front of her. I don't know.
Oh, my God. I just love that sentence. Staring lovingly into their eyes while they do mediocre jazz.
I mean,
so colorful.
Well, what are you going to do?
I think the idea of mediocre jazz is just too familiar.
Taylor. It's Taylor.
So we move on to the good stuff, in my opinion. This is when the All-Stars choreograph, in most cases, the same routine for two people, at the very least the same music, and then they dance with each of them individually. And I love this. To see them go head-to-head in this way was such good TV, I thought.
I thought this was delightful. Kat introduced them as the most talented top 20 ever, which drove me absolutely crazy because that's...
Well, to be fair, they might be the most talented top 20 ever if you count these 10 All-Stars.
Oh, well...
If she said top 20, then she might be right.
Because there's still two people left for every team.
Oh, yes.
She literally meant like the top... And I was just like, that's just not true. But then I was just like, you know what? I think I've been assessing everything Kat says this season with the understanding that I always believe everything Kat says. And that's why I keep having a problem with it, where she's like the best choreographers in the country and the top 20 in history. And I'm like, no. And I realized this is the episode when I finally realized that I can't take Kat at her word anymore, because she's just Chris Harrison. And this is the most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
But she is so much better than Chris Harrison.
I know, but the joke is that he says that every
She's a corporate pawn in all of this,
and
like everyone
else.
And
he knows that's not true. There will never be a more dramatic rose ceremony than, I don't know, the one where that guy said the wrong name. But like,
or the Mesnick one, right? Where he
That was the most dramatic after the final rose ever. And there is literally no topping it. Ever, unless somebody killed the person they picked, there is no one will ever top Jason Mesnick's after the final rose. But Chris Harrison valiantly claims every year that it's the most dramatic after the final rose in history.
Wow. Now I just want Rachel to agree to marry Brian and then immediately murder him.
Oh, that would be a great
ending. Would be the only fantastic ending to this season.
Yeah, we are at a point where killing Brian is the only answer.
It's the only solution.
We're doing the wrong. We're doing Allie and Haley's job. So go back.
Amy and Haley. Amy. Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Go and listen to the Bachelorette podcast on reality TV or Hap Ups. That's not our job. So we get into this. We start with Marco, and he doesn't get montage or anything. We see everything from him. It's wonderful.
I love Marco so much.
Me too.
I literally, my note just says, Marco is so sweet. Can I watch him dance forever and ever? Just
yes.
Also, this is where we finally learned how to pronounce Koine. Mm-hmm. And I liked that he totally got it. She gave him her little backstory spiel that we had seen in a package when she was first introduced. And Marco was like, yep, relate to that. And then I was somehow reminded, just popped into my head, of like Marco's story context when we first were introduced to him back in, I think he was season 8. And do you remember that Marco got shot? Do you remember this?
No, you're going to have to remind me. Anything that was after like season 4 in terms of backstory, I remember the dances, but I don't remember any of that.
I am the same way. I remember almost nobody. And then it just sort of came just springing back into my brain. Marco's backstory. I'm like pretty sure. I'm now a little worried that I'm not right.
But how rumors get started.
I know. Fake news. But I'm pretty sure that Marco was like in a convenience store shooting, and he has a bullet still lodged somewhere in his body.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's also from Guam, was the other thing I remembered suddenly.
Two equally dramatic reveals.
Yes.
He was shot and he is from Guam. I can't believe it.
Yep. There you go.
That helps clarify his accent a little bit.
Yeah. It's, I don't know how to say the person, people from Guam. It's Guamese.
Yes. Okay.
I don't think that's right. That sounded really effective. I am sorry, everyone.
Okay, Marco, bullet and all. He's first up with Sophia. She's the Latin ballroom dancer. She seems nice. She's late on all her movements at the beginning. Yes, she is ballroom.
Oh, that was interesting information they could have told us and didn't.
I think that they did at some point. I have it written down. I don't know where I got that information. I think it was earlier in the episode when they were saying like who the last two people were, when they were just quickly going through it. So she is ballroom and she seems sweet. She's behind on all of her movements at the beginning. And I'm like gasping a little bit, but she gets it together. She's not blowing me away, but I like her athleisure. Nice to see Marco dancing again. This is fine.
Yeah, no,
immediately overshadowed.
Yeah, I was happy to see Marco dance. I didn't care about this girl. I think it's lovely that the All-Stars all try and find something to nice to say to argue on behalf of whoever's not going to get picked.
Yeah.
We've known since the second in a montage of all places, we saw Koine join Marco's team. We've been saying Marco and Koine are not only going to be partners, but they're going to be like top 4 or 5. Like they're yeah. like they're in it to not necessarily win it, but like top tier. They're going to be fantastic. I'm so on team Koine Marco.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if I'm supposed to remain objective on this podcast when it comes to actually voting, but right off the bat, like if our predictions are true, like this is the team that I'm voting for. If I'm going to text in my votes,
I cannot vote because I am Canadian.
Oh my God. That it's a tragedy. So you can remain completely objective.
Completely objective. I'm known for my objectivity. This is the best partnership ever. He's my favorite all-star and everyone should vote for them. See objective opinions.
Yes, these are just facts, people. Yeah, we don't have to. Yeah, we're not analyzing a strategy show. So we get to discuss our rooting interests and it's very liberating. Yeah, he dances with Koine and I'm just, oh my God, I'm completely obsessed with her. They look like, someone mentions on the All-Star panel, they look like they've been dancing together forever. They look like they're like married.
Yeah,
like they are just, oh my God, they look like they're in love with each other. It's amazing. Yeah.
They're one of those partnerships that like, and this sounds stupid and superficial, but they fit like size wise, like she fits into his arms beautifully. Yep. Like they just seem like they were made for each other. I'm so in. Like I love it. And he was Melanie's partner in his season. And that's a partnership that's hard to beat.
True.
And
yeah.
I mean, I'm all in. I don't know if he was her partner, or if she just kept pulling his name, however it worked that season, but she danced with him a ton.
And, yeah, Melanie and Marco has a very familiar ring to it. That's true. So next up is Team Gabby, and they're going to do a tap routine.
I loved this routine. I thought it had such great storytelling in it. She did a great job.
I don't know why the tap routines are always to Ed Sheeran songs. It seems to be a theme because Valerie did that one to Sing on the stairs.
Oh, yeah, that was
with her
great
red tap shoes that I was really obsessed with. So I don't know why that's the thing, but it happens. And I'm happy that they're doing tap. And obviously she knew that Lex was capable of doing tap.
They're friends and it's unfair.
But still, asking someone whose specialty is not tap to do tap is so beyond asking anybody else to do. Like, it's so different. Like, you can not fake, but there are easier versions of like when Kevin couldn't do the extension or the kick or whatever it was in Sonya's routine, he just did his best. You can't do that with tap because it'll just sound wrong. You just can't fake or, you know, half ass literally anything. So it was very surprising to me that she asked him to do this.
If she had anyone other than Lex, I think she would have done what Jenna does. Because it wasn't reasonable to expect to be able to teach Kevin ballroom in a day. I do think, however, she knows Lex, and Lex strikes me as someone who is fairly extensively trained in pretty much every area. So yes, while it's not his specialty, you can be fantastic at tap and just be still a little bit better at contemporary.
Yeah, I did not find him to be fantastic at tap. I think is maybe why I'm making this point. Like, I think that all you can expect from someone, if it's not their specialty, obviously he's trained in it. His taps weren't muddy. That's really like, they were clean. It was fine. But he doesn't know what to do with his upper body because he's clearly focusing so hard on his footwork that he's not able to actually dance the routine. He's just banging out the steps, which it's so impressive that he's able to do that in general. But it just, you could see the difference so clearly between him and Evan.
Yeah, I actually thought he was pretty good. I thought he had pretty good chemistry with Gabby. I didn't really notice small little details because they went past it really quickly. I thought he was fine. I thought that this was her opportunity to, I don't know, do tap if she, you know, unless she picks Evan. She, and maybe it was just that. Maybe she's picking Lex and she wanted to do a tap routine.
Yeah, and that's possible. So I'm going to get it out of her system.
Their big opportunity to show off their choreography skills on national TV.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think there's a couple of things at play, and and especially because it's her decision, it's not like she's choreographing something and then sending them out in front of the judges to be judged and eliminated. I think because she had the power herself, she knew that she could give Lex tap for all these other reasons that she had for wanting to do a tap routine. And it wouldn't hurt him because the power was still with her.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the decision at all. And I'm certainly not knocking Lex. I'm just trying to emphasize how incredible it is that he picked this up at all. But at the same time, it was a noticeable difference, which is how I know he's not. This isn't one of his specialties at all.
Yeah, it is certainly impressive. And one of the like points for difficulty, certainly more than like whoever did Fiction's routine or whatever, who wasn't necessarily. Although I think both of his people are hip hop people. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we kind of fast forward through Team Paul and Team Robert. Really don't get anything there.
They're terrible.
Which, yeah, they are the bad teams. Team 9 and 10 gets montaged. And then we go to Cyrus, who has Kaylee / Impavido, but they have totally dropped that and they're just calling her Kaylee now.
Is sucky because, as we discussed when she first showed up, if she wants to be Impavido, I think she should get to be Impavido. That said, for clarity purposes, I do think we should start calling her Kaylee consistently because otherwise it's confusing because they are determined to call her Kaylee. I will say Team Cyrus makes me incredibly happy. I would love to be on Team Cyrus. It's a happy place. I love him so much.
Yeah. So Havoc is having a hard time picking it up because, you know, choreography really is not his thing, but Cyrus just, oh my God, this could not have been a better routine for Havoc.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's such a nice guy. I love him.
Yeah, it was hard for the scene. Cyrus is having a conversation with Kaylee about, you know, why did you want to be on my team and stuff like that. And I just had a hard time listening. He's so handsome that it's honestly so distracting. And I had kind of forgotten because we haven't spent a ton of time with Cyrus this season. Mm-hmm. He is just his smile and his eyes and everything about him.
when charm. He was on his season, the whole thing was that he was like, he should have been gone like top eight or something, or maybe even top 10. And he was in the finale because even though he was completely incapable of doing any of the routine, like people went home before him who were just unbelievable dancers, who were really versatile and doing really just like the best routines. But he like cast a spell over the entire viewing audience. He is so charming and so appealing, and just he's the greatest. And what Kaylee says is like Kaylee could have had her pick of almost anybody. She had some of the big contemporary like top tier all stars ask for her. Mm-hmm. And she went with Cyrus. And what she says is literally, I told myself if I ever got the opportunity to dance with you, I had to take it. And that is so how I feel. Like it is so like going on Team Cyrus is not necessarily a great idea. It might help you in terms of like popularity, mm-hmm. but it's not the best strategic move from a dance point of view. So one, it reveals great confidence in her technique because she's like, I don't need that. I need the viewing. Like I need the popularity. And I just want to hang out with Cyrus and I want to dance with Cyrus. And that's just like a, I love him so much. And I will say Kemper Boyd on Twitter wrote to us yesterday and wrote, Havoc is fine, but how much of a travesty would not putting Kaylee through be? And I completely agree with this. I think more than any other team, I feel so strongly about this Kaylee Cyrus duo that I need him to pick her so bad.
Yeah, I think besides Marco and Koine, I'm with you.
Yeah. And for sure. Yeah, I love them so much.
I think it's really great that Havoc got to do this routine to go out on because this was, I think, the best we've seen him. But I do not think that he should or will be picked.
Agree. Was it Robert who was the hey man in this routine? There was somebody, and I think it was mostly one person on the panel who the entire routine was like, hey, hey, hey.
Sounds like Robert. Could have been fiction, maybe.
You know what? It didn't sound cool enough to be fiction. It sounded like a little tryhardy. And tryhardy is like Robert. What I associate with Robert. Like, it was just so like, I'm trying to fit in.
Yeah. He's like their dad.
Hey! Except he's 23. But yes,
I know, but he's like their dad.
Yeah. Him and Allison are, in my head, the exact same person. Like, they're just like, they're so serious and they take themselves so seriously. And they like are just a little not cool.
It's so funny. In addition to watching Center Stage this week, I watched another excellent dance film by the name of High School Musical 2. And Allison is very prominently featured in that opening number. And I remember her from the first one. You can kind of see her in the background of a lot of And We're All in This Together and in Stick to the Status Quo. But the opening number, she's like, she's everywhere. She's in the front row of everything. It's so funny to see her there.
Was that filmed before season two?
Yes, I believe so.
I know number one definitely
was. Oh, wait. No, it wasn't. And I know that because there's a person who has a speaking role in the movie. He's a lifeguard who has about two lines, who was on So You Think You Can Dance season two, a guy named James, whose name was spelled J-A-Y-M-Z. Yes, he was Jessica's partner, who is a ballet person. I had completely forgotten about him. And that's saying something because So You Think You Can Dance season two takes up like a majority of the space in my brain. And I totally forgot about him. And then I saw him and I was like, oh, my God, James. There he is. Mm-hmm. He was cut at like top 14. So anyway, it must have been after season two, which is maybe why she was more prominently featured. But I do not believe she was in the third one.
Yeah,
like she had a career at that point.
This is our micro generational gap here, Lita. I saw the first High School Musical once and then never again because the archetypes drove me crazy. You just saw Center Stage now.
That'll happen. I love the High School Musical franchise.
The difference is, I think there's 6 years between us, something like that. And so by the time when High School Musical came out, I was way too old to appreciate. Like that was never going to fly with me. Although I will say grown up, like contemporary Zac Efron, totally on board.
Yeah.
Yep. But in how could you time? No, in his like heyday. No, but grown up Zac Efron. Absolutely.
On that. Anyway, so I watched a lot of really great high culture films this week.
There's a giant scene, it's something like 3 or 4 minutes of uninterrupted classical ballet of Romeo and Juliet in center stage. So it is actually high art.
Yes. And Swan Lake, they do the Four Little Swans.
See almost all of this. This is true in the same sequence. They also do a big stretch of Stars and Stripes.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, when she's stalking, I learned.
She's backstage stalking Cooper.
So just to finish up with Cyrus, this routine was a little weird because there wasn't like any interaction between the two dancers. So you couldn't really see the connection or really the chemistry between them. So I thought that was a little strange, but that's sort of part of the style. I guess it's hard to have a ton of interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple little winks and things where they'd turn and smile at each other when it just him and Kaylee made me smile a whole bunch.
Yeah. And I don't want to understate how great Havoc was in this routine.
Agreed. Yeah. No, he did a great job. Team Kaylee.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we skip through Comfort and Jasmine because of course we do.
Her routine looked amazing though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Comfort, but both of them. But specifically Comfort, I thought that looked amazing and I really wanted to see it. But alas, the editors don't have any interest in Comfort whatsoever, and even less in Jasmine.
I really hope that Comfort picks a girl. I think that's what I'm hoping for out of this. She has one man and one woman left.
Do we know who they are?
No, we don't. I have their, I think I have their names, but, I only have the name of the person she cut, Frankie. And Jasmine has two men. She has Howard and Robert. And I just would like to see a girl-girl pair. And I think there's no one better to do it than Comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's looking like we aren't going to have any same sex pairs at all. I know Robert had a boy last year. At least off the top of my head, I don't think we're looking at any same sex pairs unless Comfort picks a girl. And that'd be great to see. I think that Comfort's sort of girl power message, she's been in a lot of great routines that have been girl routines. Could be really good.
It's less of a risk with a hip hop dancer than with someone like a ballroom or contemporary dancer, because you don't really have to alter too much in order to, you know, there's not going to be a ton of sensual romance routines in hip hop anyway.
You're not having to deal with some of the politics of the relationships, but you're also not having to readjust technique things because the reality of a lot of the partnering genres is that the men learn a type of arm positioning things that are different from what women learn. And so if you're adjusting to do a same sex routine, you're going to have to adjust one of you is going to have to readjust what you've learned, which is difficult. So yes. I agree. And I think that'd be great. And I wish I knew who these people were so that I was in a position to say yes. And actually the girl is the better dancer, because ultimately I do want to just pick the better dancer. Mm-hmm. Not knowing who that is, I'm on board for her picking the girl, just sort of in theory.
Yeah. And I would have loved to have seen Dassie's whole routine with Fiction, but that gets
But we're going to see so much of them because this guy has no hope. They were cute. Yeah. They had I'm so out on Fiction, but they had a little bit of footage of him with Dassie, and they are hella cute together. I'm definitely there for them.
So before we get into the Jenna of it all, which will finish off our episode, do we want to give an update on Fiction in his other projects?
Yes. Okay. So somebody wrote this in the comments. Amy K in the comment section, which everyone should comment all the time, I always reply, says World of Dance isn't live right now. I'm not sure if the final rounds will be live or not. Sad to say, Fiction was just eliminated this week. I'm devastated because I think the judges lowballed him, especially Neo, who claimed he knows Fiction could have done better. I loved his routine more than the dancers that beat him out, but oh well. And thanks for the shout out. And then she also said that he was competing on his own, because I asked if he was in a team or if he was on his own, and that they do their own choreography on that show. But they had in the last round, they had a judge mentorship, someone to bounce ideas off of. And he had Derek Huff, which of the judges on World of
Match Made in Heaven.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, that's a weird combo, like Fiction right. and Derek Huff have nothing to do with it. But I mean, they have Jenna in common. They both know Jenna, I think. But like they have nothing in common. However, of the judges available on that show, Derek is a badass. Like, it's hard to lose with Derek. So the fact that he did, I don't know, Fiction. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Fiction bouncing ideas off of Derek with his style of dance. And like, what is Derek contributing?
Derek is cool. That's his whole thing. He wears like hats and stuff to try and convince us.
He competes on American Ninja Warrior celebrity specials.
I heard that. I listened to that episode of your podcast entirely for that. Taryn called him dreamy. It made my life so much better. I don't actually agree with that, but I was just so happy.
Yeah, it's a fair assessment, if not a relatable one.
Yes, that's exactly it. I don't really like blondes, but yes, yeah. I appreciate your appreciation.
He was great in Hairspray Live, Derek Huff.
He was so good. I mean, everyone was great in Hairspray Live was wonderful. Derek was particularly wonderful. I really like him. I know you're not really supposed to, but I just really do.
He was so good that they took an entire song that his character doesn't sing and they gave it to him. Supposed to be the one of the Link songs. Anyway.
Oh, that's is that true?
Yeah, Lady's Choice is originally a Link song.
Oh, no. Lady's Choice was put in just for the movie. That's not actually in the show. So they put it into the movie entirely to give Zac Efron something extra to do. So
then they changed it and gave Derek Huff something extra to do.
I will say Link in the Hairspray movie sucked. So, yeah.
Zac Efron?
No, not in the movie. Sorry, in Hairspray Live. He was fine in the movie.
Oh, I like him. Garrett Clayton. He was in a Disney Channel original movie called Teen Beach Movie, which I don't know if you caught that one, but it's a good film. One that prominently features Kent Boyd as a dancer.
Kent Boyd in that movie.
Yeah. Teen Beach Movie. He actually has lines in that movie.
Hey, good for him. I always thought he was, because he was someone who in his routines was a real actor. Like, he did that one where Neil stabs him in the back, and then he did that one where him and Lauren go to the prom, and it was just the most convincing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, I got to meet Kent during the tour of his season, and I remember asking him what he wanted to do next, and he said, I'm hoping to do some Disney while I'm still young, and then he did.
Great idea. That was a killer season. I really thought he was going to win that season.
Yeah,
which was saying something, because that was the Alex Wong and Robert Roldan season, and none of them won. Lauren won.
Yeah,
I mean, Alex was hurt, but still.
Yeah,
great season. Anyway, moving back onto the topic at hand.
We're going to talk about
some Fiction update.
Yeah. And now we're going to get into some Jenna.
Jenna. Oh, gosh.
So we do have an update on how Jenna knows Kiki.
Yes.
Through our wonderful fans. And thank you, everyone, for filling us in on this information, because we are so out of the loop.
Right. So first of all, I was watching this segment with Jenna, and when she was talking about him being pretty high up in competition circuit. And I had this moment of like, oh, she totally knows this guy. And whether she knows him personally or not, I think she'd heard of him. And that's why there's been such a disconnect between what we've been seeing him actually deliver and the way Jenna talks about him. She's always said, like, he's the best ballroom dancer we've ever had on the show, blah, blah, blah. And we've never been able to see it in terms of what he's actually putting out on the show. Right. And this idea that she knows his reputation certainly definitely explains that. And Willow White in our comment section mentioned that she does know him, and they're connected through Jenna's boyfriend, Val, which, again, Dancing with the Stars fans will know. Val is my favorite pro on that show. I adore him. I did not know officially that he's dating Jenna. I'm obviously devastated because I don't like her and I love him, and it's a whole thing. But yeah, so apparently, and Val is a very old school, he's from the Ukraine, or Ukraine, there's no the, and he's done a lot of competition ballroom in his life, so he apparently knows Kiki, and they are connected that way, which makes a lot of sense, because she has talked about like she seemed, we've been convinced she was going to pick Kiki for weeks and never really known why. And I actually think in this episode, we saw like he missed her hand a bunch of times in the routine.
Yes.
Like I saw nothing special in him. And yet I still am like not that confident that she's not going to pick him.
Yeah. So I will say, and I hate to admit this, but gotta say, Kiki is hot. And I think that that is going to be a factor because this
Bella's
routine
is hotter. So like relax, Jenna.
This routine is pretty spicy that she does with Kiki. At least that's what I thought until I saw the following routine.
Yes.
And so, yeah, the routine she does with Kiki, there's really not actually that much to say about it. It's fine. I thought it was going to be like amazing and it was good. Whatever. And it was hot. They had chemistry. There was some near kissing. There was some accidental kissing while they were rehearsing.
Yeah, they showed that in a promo and then didn't actually show the scene.
Yeah, well, we didn't really need to see it twice. They accidentally kissed. It happened. And then she does this routine with Kevin. So Jenna is the only one to choreograph two different routines, but it's to the same song. And I loved this routine.
Yeah, this was amazing.
And I know that this is one of the major divergences that you and I have, Kelly, but I have to stick up for Jenna. She is just the best. I know we disagree on it, but just seeing these two very different choreographies and having her have this amazing connection with both of them and have it be hot and just so different and have her do the style that's totally not her and incorporate her own technique and as well as his strengths into it. I just loved it. I loved everything about this routine.
So as previously stated, my issue with Jenna is entirely personal. It has nothing to do. I think she's a beautiful dancer. I actually think it's weird. I think that all of her best work, like 100% of her best work, both choreographically and dance wise, has happened outside of her genre. I don't think she's a particularly interesting ballroom dancer or ballroom choreographer. I thought there was nothing interesting about this Kiki routine whatsoever. I just think she's a pretty middling ballroom dancer. I think she is quite exceptional as a ballroom dancer working in other styles. She's done some amazing work in other styles. You're right. This routine was awesome. I just don't like the girl. Like, I think she really annoys me. Like, I think I don't like how she's handling being an all-star. I think it's totally in her head. I think she's really stiff in front of the camera, but not in that way where Allison is, where she, like, you can actually see that she's stiff and like kind of nervous. Mm-hmm. I think that she just puts on this giant gloss in front of her actual personality and is, she just drives me absolutely crazy. I don't like her, which I'm usually not this girl who's just like, I don't like her. I don't have a reason, but like, I don't have a reason. I don't like her. But this routine, she did an amazing job and take nothing away from her dance ability because she was fantastic here. And this routine with Kevin, she needs to pick Kevin. Like, she has to for so many reasons. One of which is definitely that Kevin's going to force her out of hiding in ballroom. And if she goes with Kiki, she's going to hide in ballroom and fall back on ballroom. And she doesn't know this, but we do. It's secretly not her strength.
Yeah. And for any listeners who are Team Jenna, I am always going to be defending her. As I have,
there are no listeners who are Team Jenna. You're by yourself.
I have no opinion on her as a person. I just absolutely love her dancing, and I loved her during her season, and so I guess I have a positive opinion of her as a person.
But she's so annoying, and
I just don't
fake,
I don't
seeming
see it,
and dumb, and she's agreed to go out with like 17 different people on Dancing with the Stars, and I'm like, come on, make a decision. Like, I don't
know. Hey,
like, she just, no, she her, like, she doesn't hater. Because people, there's this thing on Dancing with the Stars where there's always somebody who has a crush on Jenna. And then it becomes a storyline.
Understandable.
Where they're like, gonna ask Jenna out. And then she always just is like, sure. And I'm like, you can't possibly like that person too. Like, I don't know. I don't like her. She annoys me. Yeah. I feel about her the way that apparently everyone feels about Robert. So there's that.
All right. Well, I'm going to stay loving Jenna and Robert. And I think that she should pick They keep calling Kevin Concrete, which I guess is one of his nicknames.
It's his impavido, but yes. For some reason we're letting him have it. And I'm thinking that going into the amount of times they said Concrete at the very end of this episode, I think going into the final 10, he will be called Concrete if he makes it.
Yeah, I don't know. But it seemed like a lot of the All-Stars were in on her picking him. I think that Jenna does, you know, I know that she has really dramatized it, but I really think that she does have one of the hardest decisions here, because I totally understand her wanting to go with someone in her style that she knows is an accomplished dancer already. I don't think it should be a hard decision, but I understand why it's one of the hardest decisions. Although that said, we did not see any of Allison's routine with either of her partners, so I have no idea.
Logan's
seems, gonna get it.
Yeah,
but it might be a hard decision. We just don't know because we've only seen Logan.
We saw the other guy's original audition. I believe he's the guy that you thought he reminded you of Alvin Ailey. And he's a beautiful dancer, but I think that Logan is the clear favorite. And I wonder how much of that is editing and how much we've seen versus how much of that is clear to her. Certainly things like he choreographed that amazing group routine that they did. It was all on Logan. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. I do agree Jenna has one of the hardest decisions. And it's hard for a weird reason. It's hard for I think I know what she should do. But I think that what she wants to do is pulling at her quite strongly. And it's not a matter of trying to figure out what she should do. It's more of a reconciling the differences between what she should and what she wants to. It'll be interesting to see which way she goes. I also think she's like really into Kiki. Like she's been drawing him from the start. Because remember, he was terrible in the hip hop round.
Oh, I remember.
Like just terrible. And while Kevin is never going to be good at ballroom, he got through the ballroom round, and I don't seem to remember them telling us he was bad at it. So
yeah, I don't recall, because he got cut from Allison's team after the group round, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. After the group round. And that I think was just Allison wanting to cut the hip hop guy, because everyone else on her team was contemporary. And I think she was just way more comfortable working anywhere but hip hop.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I do actually think there's got to be something in the rules that said she's not allowed to ask Twitch for help, because that would be so unfair.
Yeah, you can't get the bonus all-star in there.
Yeah,
that's not
because
fair.
if she could, then there is no reason not to pick Allison, because that's just like a double whammy of the best all-star ever.
Right. But that's what I'm saying about, even if she's not necessarily like gonna go out with him or whatever, like I just think that him being attractive is not something that we can remove from the equation. Because it's more fun to dance. Yeah.
I also think Kevin's really attractive, though.
I agree, but I think that Kiki is more attractive to Jenna.
Oh, yes, I agree with this. I think that she's, I think she's really into him. Like, I think she, and for Jenna especially, I think that that does factor in. That said, she like, that routine with Kevin, the chemistry was unbelievable.
And all the All-Stars were like shouting. Yeah. They were getting up off their chairs. I loved that routine. That's a routine that I'm going to like YouTube this week. Yeah. Going to go watch it again.
Well, but I wonder, I would like to see if Kevin goes through, we might get to see that routine in like the finale or something. The problem with it is that because it wasn't in the show, it was just in this part, we actually didn't get the whole routine. Yeah. And it kept cutting away to the All-Stars. So there's no way to actually watch this routine in its entirety, which is very frustrating because it was so great.
We can watch the parts of it that we saw, which were glorious.
That's true. But she says at the end that it's a question between figuring out what is the right decision and the smart decision. And I kind of think that for Jenna, those are two different things. I think the right decision is Kevin. And I think the smart decision in the sense of like strategic is Kiki. And I think if she's playing it safe and being reasonable, she'll go Kiki. And if she's really going to be in it to win it and wanting to, because I think Kiki's going to finish right up there with like Robert and Paul.
And I think this is a big thing.
Going to finish closer to Marco. And if she's in it to win it, she's going to take that risk and make the right decision with Kevin. But it's probably smarter and more self-preservational to go Kiki.
Yeah, well, this is a big thing with Kiki, is that I think he's going to have a really hard time connecting with the audience. I think he comes off as a little bit of a snob.
You think? I remember thinking he was very charming on his initial audition.
His original audition, I agree. I just think that he hasn't, I don't know. I don't know if I even really have a reason for that, but I just feel like he doesn't come off as someone that is an electrifying personality. I think he's just someone who comes from the competition circuit and carries himself as such. And whatever your thing with Jenna is, I think I might have the same thing with Kiki, except that, you know, he's really hot. Very so possible. I can forgive him.
He does seem to have the personality of, and this is, I think, part of the Jenna thing. He has the personality of someone who knows he's hot.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not the worst.
Yes. Whereas like a Cyrus, for example, has no idea. It's never entered his brain that he's cute. And I love that. I get it. I agree. I think Kiki will have a hard time with the audience. Although, again, he was charming on his first audition, but his partner was very charming. And she,
it was their dynamic, I think, was cute more so than him.
So, I think it's an interesting choice. I think that if she plays it safe, she's going to end up, she won't be out first, but she'll be out, fourth. And I think that if she takes the risk, she might be out first, but she also might be in the top two. So we'll see what she does. It'll be very interesting. How mad do you think Allison was after that routine?
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that.
Because he's the only mistake, person Allison. Who was poached, and he did the best routine of the whole segment.
Yeah. Yeah. Just hilarious. So many props to Jenna for pulling these both out. I was so impressed. So I think that will be a major source of drama next week. I don't think there'll be too much drama with them picking between these other people and the other teams, but we will see. Maybe there'll be some blindsides. You never know.
I mean, as long as Cyrus and Marco do the right thing, I don't know that there's anybody I care that much what happens.
Yeah. I think we're both in on Gabby picking Evan.
Oh, yeah, but it didn't happen, so well.
Yeah, so we're not going to be disappointed. We're prepared for it. Other than that, not too many. And you said it, Marco, definitely. But other than that, I don't think that we're going to be devastated over any decisions here.
No, unless Fiction loses his mind, but he won't. Like, there's just
he will not. We haven't really seen anything from Fiction's other.
Yeah. And
person,
then, and the thing about this still being pre-recorded is we are seeing, I wonder how much of it is like winner edit sort of thing, where we can try to judge, okay, how much of so-and-so have we seen? That means they are going to get picked. And how much of it is like, to continue on the Survivor train, like misdirect when they try and convince you so-and-so is going home before tribal council, and they show you every conversation that happened on the beach about the possibility of them maybe going home, and don't show you the 50 conversations that happened about anybody else possibly going home.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, with someone like Lex, if it is a big misdirect and they wanted to, if maybe she doesn't pick him, they wanted to show him and really get their credit, or like be able to showcase him with what they had of him. I could see there being a few misdirects, but generally I'm expecting what we're expecting.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's possible, but I am not expecting any surprises. I think they want to make it as easy as possible for people to remember who's who.
That's true. We're going into the voting. It is. Yeah, they have a really rough history with giving people equal amount of time going in, so that voting has some sort of semblance of fairness. They've definitely had people in the top 20 before who've complained that, like, no one knew who I was, so I didn't get
Jasmine
any votes.
And Comfort just need to bust it the heck out.
Yeah. Now, luckily, they are very charming people. I would be much more worried about the fact that we don't really know Paul's girl, and we don't really know Taylor that well, because they're with less popular people. I think Comfort and Jasmine are popular enough all-stars that the fact that they've gotten nothing in the edit will balance out, theoretically, at least a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they'll be okay.
Yeah,
they can get through the first couple weeks before they can establish themselves. That is our podcast. Looking forward to next week. And Kelly, what is going on in your life? What can people check out?
Let's see here. All of our Comic-Con coverage is still going up at myentertainmentworld.ca. Lots of interesting things there. Talked to lots of interesting people in the press rooms and on the con floor. So that's all available there. And then I'm covering Summer Work starting next week. So that's a big theater festival with lots of dance coverage. I don't review the dance, but we have dance critics who will be doing that. Lots of contemporary fun stuff. So that's all up on the website. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at myentworld, my E-N-T worlds. Again, those are professional, they are company accounts. It's usually me actually tweeting and Instagramming. And I have... Not, I think I'm doing them weekly now. Big Brother rankings of whom I'm liking in the house, who I'm rooting for, and a couple stray reality show thoughts. Oh, and you should also check out going into the finale. I did a big Bachelor article a few weeks ago. I do a yearly Bachelor scale where I rank the guys. So check that out going into the finale and VIP, because there are some interesting, I think, thoughts on the guys. All of them are there. Anyone that I could remember, whether they were still in the competition or not.
But where's Diggy?
Diggy's somewhere. He's like in the middle top.
He was my number one, just based on hotness. And
yeah, he was super cute. He's a great dresser. Really short. Don't like short.
Yeah, I don't either, but I don't have to date him. I just have to admire his
face.
That's
true. And I do it. It's entirely about me. Like, I don't rank it in terms of like who Rachel should pick. I do it in terms of who I would pick.
Who you would pick.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So,
I love
so like Dean is second, even though he's too young for her. He just is.
Right.
But he's not necessarily, he's a little too young for me. He's not that much younger than me. So he was up there because he's for my favorite was Will. So check that out on the site. Lots of fun reality TV coverage there. And did I say on the podcast that the interview that I kept plugging was Paul, and then he went into the house so that he didn't end up doing the interview?
No, I believe you just said that to me, not on air.
Okay, to clarify for anyone who's waiting for that, this drove me crazy. He just missed his deadline, and I was like, wait, where'd he go? And then the next day he's on the show, and I'm like, damn it, of course.
Pissed.
But there's lots of other reality show coverage, and I do my Big Brother rankings, so definitely follow us on Twitter at my ENT world. Lita, what about you?
Yes, we recorded, this is my third podcast today, so please excuse all the tangents to the listeners. Just a little tired. But this morning I did the Big Brother live feed update on the Rob is a Podcast Facebook page. That's also released on the Reality TV Rehap Ups feed. It was a fun update. It was me and Taryn and Brent. It was a little bit controversial this morning. So, you know. Just fair warning.
Conversation with Brent? What? Fight? No.
Yeah, there was, we got into it, but that was a fun one. And then also on that Rehap Ups feed, you can find the American Ninja Warrior podcast, which I recorded this afternoon. Working our way through the city finals. It's kind of picking up. I'm just really looking forward to Vegas so that I can tell my stories about being there at this point. And of course, on that feed, you can find this podcast. So definitely subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups on iTunes or on your podcatcher. You can leave reviews there. You can mention us in the reviews. That would be really nice of you. And on that, you can also find the Challenge Rehap Up, the Bachelor Rehap Up with Haley and Amy. That is really getting into their big finale. So definitely do that and leave us comments. And you can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted and on Instagram at Lita Grammed. And just feel free to interact with us. We love talking about the show, clearly.
Yeah. We both have feeds on our Twitter collecting our favorite routines from the show. Feel free to post your own. We'd love to see them. I missed season 6 and last season, so if you want to share your favorite things from those that I've never seen before, please do. And I also wanted to mention Rob had posted on the Rob Has a Podcast Facebook page that this year they're doing the podcast awards. In previous years, the main feed has won. Last year, Post Show Recap won. So they're ineligible this year. So this year we're really pushing for Post Show Recaps. So or post
for reality TV
or a half up. See, I'm mixing them up. That was the one that won last year. So that's our feed. So that's us. That's the LFC stuff, the Taryn show, all of the ones Lita just mentioned, American Ninja Warrior, Bachelor, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to go and vote for that, all the information is, I believe Rob has the information on the Rob Has website main page, but it's also all on the Rob Has Podcast Facebook page. So you should check that out and vote for us, because that'd be really cool.
Yes, then we can be award-winning podcasters.
Absolutely.
Which is all I've ever wanted. So yes, definitely do that. Good to mention. Should remember to mention that in the future. Yes. So that is all we have for you this week. And we will see you next time.
All right, bye, guys. So you think you can...